This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Thinking about it, but we're not here to talk about that bullshit.
I thought we were. This isn't the faith earthically.
Well, I guess it could be.
Oh, did you know what? Before we get into the comic talk, did you notice in one of the Nightwing issues? I forget which one. Might be the last issue. Uh-huh. When he's reading all the books, what the books were.
I didn't.
He's reading Robin Hood, and I guess that's leading up to him taking her to see Robin Hood in the movie theater or whatever.
Right.
But one of he has the big novel of Robin Hood, and next to it is the comic book Robin Hood Rebirth.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I laughed about that for a good couple minutes when I was reading that before. I was like, oh, I gotta ask if Ronnie saw that, because we didn't talk about that issue together.
Yeah. No, I did not, but now I'm gonna go back and look at it.
Yeah, I don't think it was this issue. I think it was issue 14.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Check it out. Little subtle hits there.
Oh, yeah. I like when books do that. Mm-hmm. Because you never know if it's the writer that says, hey, do something like this, or if it's just the artist. You know, yeah, like right. The writer says, oh, you know, he should be reading a bunch of books and this should be one of them.
Right.
But then, you know, the artist just takes liberties and has a good time with the rest.
Well, it could be an inker too. Right?
Well, yeah, I guess maybe. Because it looked like the cover was drawn in. I, you know what? I'm trying to remember now if it had an Image Comics logo on it. Now I gotta look.
That would be amazing.
I know there was something.
Or at least like a parody of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but the fact that it was Robin Hood Rebirth, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Let's see.
Some good stuff. Nothing.
Yeah, it's Robin Hood Rebirth, and it's like instead of the Image logo, it's an upside down Image logo.
Because they do have a Robin Hood book, right?
Do they?
Or is that IDW or somebody? I thought one of the companies just redid Robin Hood, but and it's a girl.
Maybe. Oh wait, you know what? It's not an upside down Image logo. It's an Image logo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now that I say that, I want to take a look and see, because I know that there is one somewhere. Because I was like, should I read it? And then no, I never got.
Oh, the new Robin? Maybe it's is it by like Boom or somebody?
Maybe it's Boom, because they have been getting all those old properties.
I'm looking it up on Comixology. Robin Hood Outlaw something?
Yeah, probably.
Outlaw of the 21st century?
How did you spell it? Did you spell it R-O-B-Y-N?
R-O-B-I-N?
Yeah, that might be the Outlaw of the 21st century might be it.
I don't see any...
There's
company.
Yeah, there's Robin Hood, I Love New York. And it's R-O-B-Y-N.
Oh, okay.
But it's by Zenoscope, so. And that's the one I was talking about, too, because it is a girl, but shocker, it's by Zenoscope.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I remember seeing something about that.
Yeah. Because I think they're... Huh. Who's doing Wynonna Earp? Is that? Is that Boom? Or Dynamite? Or.
I'm not sure.
Because I thought they, like, crossover, or had a crossover here recently, but maybe not. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
Huh.
We're going down the Robin Hood. Rabbit hole.
Yeah. The hell, man.
Sorry. Let's see. Okay. You're gonna steer the ship.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Trying to think where.
Where do you want to go?
Oh, I know where I'm going to start.
All right.
I'm going to start this by saying that this was probably my favorite issue of The Walking Dead in a long time.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, no, what are we talking about? No, this is more than likely, and I know I've said this before, but I'm super serial this time. I'm done with Green Lanterns, man.
After this one, you're done?
Yeah, I mean, I was almost done before, and then I was like, oh, well, Batman's going to be in it, so I got to read this. Mm-hmm. And the last issue was just such trash, and I was like, you know what? They're saying it's a two-parter, I'll at least finish reading it. And right. I'm done. The whole thing is horrible.
I understand.
The fact that the last issue made it seem like Batman and these Green Lanterns barely know each other.
Mm-hmm.
When they're on the Justice League together.
Yeah.
And this issue, it's like Batman is doing his detective work and Simon is just like watching him like, oh, this is how he figures things out. This is impressive. He just seems to know everything and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the? You guys are on the freaking Justice League together. How do you not know how he does stuff?
Well, that, and he also acts like a pissed off teenager.
He is kind of a pissed off teenager.
Well, I know, but like, because he catches the gun, you know?
Oh, or yeah.
Whatever. And so, like, the whole, like, throughout the whole thing until Batman calls him over, you know, he's like sulking on the gun. He's just like, whatever. And like, flies off or just flies there, hovers there, and sulks until it's time to go in or whatever. It was like, yeah, I mean, like you and Rob were saying on Twitter, like the stories and the concepts good.
Yeah.
But the execution
is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the one redeeming feature of this issue was that Simon finally got rid of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been my biggest complaint about him for, I mean, since he first came around.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so you did one good thing, but then half a second later you have Batman talking about how Simon is, oh, he's going to need help from a Green Lantern at some point. It's going to be Simon Baz because Hal Jordan is a glory hog and, you know, Guy Gardner is crazy or whatever. And it's like, wait a second. I would rather have Hal Jordan, who is a glory hog, than this freaking guy who doesn't know crap about crap, because you know Hal is going to do everything he possibly can to succeed, whereas this guy is in his head too much.
Right.
And you'd think that Batman would freaking realize that. But, you know, that's what you get with terrible writing.
Yeah. Also, on Arkham Sessions, the Batman podcast.
Right.
Their latest episode had
Sam Humphries
on it, yeah, where he talked about, it's called the Anxiety Lantern. So apparently he in real life has real bad anxiety. I haven't listened to it yet, but
yeah, I forget if you or Martin were telling me that the other day, but
probably.
I haven't listened to it, but honestly, I mean, you know, maybe he has an anxiety, but you can still not write garbage Green Lantern comics.
And it's still outselling most things that we cherish.
But you know what, though? January numbers I just saw, and yeah. Hal Jordan is only like a couple, the two issues from January, Hal Jordan is like within a couple hundred now of Green Lanterns. So that's it's closing the gap significantly, because it was way down like a couple months ago.
Yeah. It was way down.
Yeah.
And well, not just Hal Jordan either, like there's a couple other decent books that were way, way down. And I was like, how in the hell is Green Lanterns outselling this or that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it pleases me that Hal Jordan is closing the gap. Like, the Green Lanterns numbers aren't really dropping.
Right.
Which is good.
Uh-huh.
But I'm glad that Hal Jordan is not, you know, like 14,000 copies behind. It's now only like, you know, 300.
Right, yeah. So Green Lanterns is garbage.
Yeah, and you know what? Even the end with Rami Valthoom.
Yeah.
I don't even care to see where they go with that at this point, because the previous story arc ruined it so bad, like my interest, that I'm just, you know, do whatever. I just don't even care. Maybe I'll give it a couple issues to pile up, and I'll try and plow through the arc in one shot. Mm-hmm. But I honestly don't. For me, I'm just not going to waste my time with this comic anymore. Like, I get zero enjoyment out of this book.
I'm with you.
You know, and
yeah,
and it's not like Green Arrow this week. I feel nothing for that book. It doesn't even get me upset enough to hate it like Green Lanterns. I just don't care.
Yeah, it's kind of like the stuff too.
Yeah, I was looking to rank up the books, and I kept even forgetting to put it in my list because I'm just like, oh yeah, that's right, that came out this week.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be better, like, if we go back and read it 4 or 5 issues at a time?
I don't know. You know, I mean, this issue
I'm sure
was.
We're gonna find out, because that was one of the ones that I said that I was done after this issue, because it's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know, that it doesn't excite me at all.
Yeah. It's not like one of those where, you know, it's a new issue, I'm going to read it, or should I just wait and read a couple issues and then go back to it? It's just like, it's almost like a chore reading the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are some comics that I know I enjoy reading them in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not so much DC stuff, but, you know, like other people.
Yeah.
Companies. Yeah. That I will purposely let, you know, 3-4 issues build up, because it's just one of those things. It just reads better as a story than as individual issues.
Right.
And, like, I don't even think this would do that. Like, it, you know, I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm going to let it build up and then go, because, I don't know, maybe that'll change my perspective on it.
Right.
And I don't know if it's like, I don't know. I mean, the art's decent in it, I think. I mean, it's not the worst that I've seen.
The art is definitely better. There were a few issues where it was really terrible, but this issue was much, much better than it had been.
Right. But I can't, like, justify me force-feeding myself through the book just to look at the pretty art. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. I think if I give it a break for a month or two, and let because it's bi-weekly, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if I let 4 or 5 issues build up, then maybe it'll be different for me.
Right. And, I mean, like, the kind of twist-ish stuff at the end has me, like, this one at least has me mildly intrigued to see where it goes. So, like, I'm not to the point where I'm going to stop reading this one.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it's not. When it comes out the same week, you know, you got Batman, you got Superman, you got Nightwing and Aquaman. There's a lot of heavy hitters that come out the same day.
Right.
And this is it. After I get through all of the stuff I'm excited about, this is just like, oh yeah, this came out, so I guess I'll just read it.
All right, we'll play devil's advocate though. But if it came out next week, then you have Deathstroke, and then you had Red Hood. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's true.
So, and Detective. So, I mean, it's still going to be bottom of the barrel type stuff.
Yeah, I'm curious how long the double shipping is going to go on. Like, I thought that it was supposed to be 12 issues, but maybe it was 12 months.
Right.
I don't remember what I read now.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Like if it's gonna continue through the first year, and then some of the titles will start going monthly. I don't even know.
I know that some of the titles are going to start rising in price.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I think they are the monthly titles, if I'm not mistaken. So, because it's not like Batman or Superman.
I think so.
You know, like the heavy hitter ones.
Right. Yeah.
Which I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I guess that's a way to weed out the, or thin out the herd, basically. Because, I mean, can you see Green Lanterns? I don't think it's one, but can you see it, like, going up a dollar? How are those sales numbers going? You know what I mean?
I mean, it's still selling like 45,000 copies an issue.
Well, true,
so.
But I was just using that for like an example. Okay, like,
you know, could I see Blue Beetle surviving if it goes up a dollar? No,
right?
Or because Cyborg. I don't think it has. Yeah, like I don't think those books have the numbers going into it. You know, but
right.
I mean, obviously Green Lanterns has an audience. I don't know who that audience is.
Well,
but I mean, they're somewhere.
It's probably the same audience that it's,
either that or Sam Humphries comes from a very wealthy family who buys 40,000 copies of his book every 2 weeks.
I don't know. It's just I know that some of the upping the price on those titles that I read, which was like a week or two ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing
gonna,
the same thing. I just forget
gonna
what titles
hurt
it was.
It's going to hurt some, and then some it's going to help.
Right.
Because wasn't Super Sons, wasn't it a dollar more?
You know what? I don't even remember.
I mean, I don't remember at this point either, because I was just grabbing it anyway, but I thought, like, Super Sons was one of the ones, and then they were like, well, that's a number one. And I was like, well, yeah, but it's also that niche book, too.
Right.
Really, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of, what did you think about it?
What did you think about it?
Honestly, it is what it is, I guess. I mean, it wasn't the best interaction that we saw from Damian and Jonathan.
Yep. I agree completely.
But I got off my old man, get off my lawn pedestal. And it was entertaining. It was a fun read, I guess. And it was a number one. But unlike other number ones that I've read, it really didn't make me want to go to number two all that much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the variant cover was amazing, is amazing, I should say.
Is that the one where they're standing next to each other and Jonathan has his arm on him?
His arm on. Yeah. Yeah. I like his art a lot. You know, he's doing Descender, which is like amazing.
Who is that?
But Dustin Nguyen. I don't know how to pronounce
Nguyen?
It. Nguyen.
Nguyen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like you said, I thought that the issues of I guess it was in Superman, where Batman and Damian were.
Yeah.
I thought those were better. But you know, like I wasn't so big on the cartoony art style
by Jimenez.
I mean it's not bad, but it reminded me almost more of like Gotham Academy than something else, in a way.
Right.
It's just not my like preference for art, I guess.
Right. It reminded me of a cartoon instead of.
Yeah, and I mean it's silly that we're saying a comic book reminds us more of a cartoon than a comic book, but
true.
You know, I mean it's.
Yeah.
I guess just you know matter of opinion.
Right.
But I do like that Damian was kind of stalking Jonathan, that he was, you know, the bus driver, he was his substitute teacher, he was all this other stuff. Like, that's funny to me. It strikes me as something very Damian-like.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I mean, up until the last page where they're investigating the break-ins in Lex Luthor's, you know, buildings, and Lex shows up.
Yeah.
there was really nothing in this issue that had me very excited.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
It's dense, really. There's nothing really to sink your teeth in. It's just a fun read, and
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I mean, now I'm very curious to see how Damian and Jonathan get out of this interaction with Lex without him figuring out who they are.
Yeah.
If they can.
Yeah. At least Jonathan, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Lex already knows that he's Robin, I would assume, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know.
Because, I mean...
asking throwing
yeah I mean
there.
when Lex was in the Justice League, I mean, Batman didn't really have a Robin, because when that stuff was happening, I don't remember if it was when Damian was dead, but I mean, Damian wasn't really around.
Okay,
so
makes sense.
I don't remember them ever interacting. It doesn't mean it didn't happen,
right?
But yeah,
so,
but
what was a book that you did like, though?
I don't even think I liked any of them.
Not even Nightwing?
No, I'm joking. You know what? It's funny. Nightwing, for what Nightwing was, it was good. But I had higher hopes.
Okay.
I guess. That I thought, since he's been in Bloodhaven, it's been fantastic. I enjoyed the last arc a lot with everything going on. And this one, for some reason, seeing a book that covers 2 months of his relationship while he's telling his friends and basically telling Barbara, who was sort of his girlfriend-ish, that, you know, he's with this new person. It wasn't bad, but it really, really dropped the pacing of the previous story. I'm sure it's going to lead to things in the future.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't what I was hoping for. Like, my excitement for Nightwing has been ramped up, and this sort of brought it back down.
The one thing that
I guess
I enjoyed the most was his interaction with, you know, Jason and Wally and
Wally.
But
Starfire, they were all
But I'm with you. I don't know. It's kind of cool, but in the same way, it's like we just hit the brakes really hard, really fast.
Yeah.
On to where I expected it to go from the last arc.
Right.
Because it started to feel like that old time Nightwing book again.
Yep.
And I'm not saying this one doesn't. I mean, it's not nearly as bad as it was before.
Right.
But it's just like one step back.
And, I mean, I guess detailing the whole relationship thing also, I mean, it works well because of how the book ended, you know, with her being taken, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they had to show you that their relationship wasn't, you know, that it progressed over, you know, the time.
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, it did a good job telling the story it had to tell, but, you know, I'm all for Nightwing, you know, jumping off of buildings and doing cool stuff.
Right.
Not, you know, talking to his friends on the phone about a girl that he's seeing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you were saying last week about the Justice League episode.
Okay.
Like, not last week's Justice League episode. Or
yeah, the
issue, obviously,
2 weeks
but
ago.
The other one where they're just... Because, I mean, that's what it kind of felt like. It was just a filler episode, but it's just them talking about it, you know, and him confiding in his friends about it, which is fine.
Yeah.
And it's a great... And it was great, but for me, I was expecting us to go balls to the wall, or now that we have the ball and running with it.
Right.
you know, we're not going to run out of bounds and take a timeout.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like I said, it did a great job doing what it was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, it's needed for the story. But like you said, it just felt like, you know, we had been pressing down the accelerator for the last couple issues. And now it's like, oh, hey, we got to stop over here because my wife said there's an antique shop she wants to stop in for a couple minutes.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Keeping with the Bat family.
Oh, okay.
What about Batwoman?
You know, I meant to ask, like, Martin or Daryl or somebody before we talked about this one, that it is, does she, in, you know, like the traditional story, did she have a twin that died? I mean, I don't really know her history.
Right.
I didn't dislike this issue. I'm just trying to figure out if I liked it. I guess.
Okay.
I thought that the two issues of Detective with her story did a really good job telling her story. I mean, this obviously it goes back farther and gives you more, you know, gives you more about her,
right,
herself.
Right.
You know, like it was interesting seeing, I guess, that she had a twin sister and that was killed.
Yeah.
You know, and she was, you know, and her mother, and she was saved.
Yeah.
And just, you know, her growing up and basically, you know, I guess kind of being a screw up and then finding herself and whatever. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. This will probably get me hate tweets, but, you know, I'm used to it, so. I thought that the two-part story in Detective set up Batwoman pretty good and actually made me want to learn more about her.
Right.
This issue made me feel totally opposite, like I don't really give a damn.
Okay.
And I can't pinpoint why. You know what I mean? Because I know that Tinian's on this also with Marguerite.
I think, yeah.
But, and I don't know how, you know, if he just has, like, the guidelines and she's filling in the gaps, or, you know, I don't know how their co-writing structure works, but, like,
right.
I don't know if it's, like, the force it down my throat type I'm a badass thing, you know what I mean? Or I've had obstacles and this is who I am. I'm a powerful
right.
woman. Does that make sense?
Without I guess.
Me sounding like a sexist? Know, you,
yeah, because, you know, you hate women. And
no. But, I mean, I didn't date strippers or anything. Like, Martin
Don't
Darryl
forget,
did,
direct,
but, you know.
Direct your tweets to RonBar316.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know what it is. That's what I'm saying. I can't put my finger on why this issue took a step back
right.
for me than what the other two did. Because the other two basically pretty much did the same thing this one did, right?
Well, but the ones in Detective were more like her relationship with her father.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Like, I mean, it wasn't her as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and then and everything else. So,
And her teammates, too, I guess, really.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, I like the, you know, her finding herself and finding her team aspect of this one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, at the end where everyone's there. But, yeah, I mean, it's for a character that I'm not overly familiar with. And that I've never been, you know, I've never gone out of my way to read a Batwoman story.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. I found myself enjoying it more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, see, dude, this issue is still better than Green Lanterns and Green Arrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, as a character, me being interested or invested in the character, it just took it... This issue took a step back for me instead of even staying even or going forward with me. And I can't really...
Right.
Like I said, I can't really put my finger on it of why.
Yeah.
Maybe because it didn't progress anything and it was still dwelling on the past stuff.
Well, but I mean, they kind of have to, because this is the Rebirth one-shot.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And that, you know, that they're marketing this one, or they're hoping that people are going to pick this up that don't necessarily read Detective Comics.
Right.
Which, yeah, to me, confuses, you know, why put her backstory in Detective Comics if you're going to put this out, you know, for, I guess... was it to try and get people that read that interested in picking this up? But I mean, honestly, her character in Detective Comics has been really good, that I didn't need a two-part, you know, Batwoman backstory, right, to get me to pick this up.
Right, yeah. Like, the detective was like a backdoor pilot for a TV show type thing, like a spinoff,
right,
you know? And yeah. Then, so that, maybe that's it. Maybe I was just ready for this one to hit the ground running, and it didn't. And like you said, I understand why it did, because it's a number one, and it's got to be new reader friendly to a certain extent. But
well, but this isn't the number one. This is the Rebirth number one.
Yeah, right.
You know, so this is the one that's got to bring everybody up to speed of what's gone on before, I guess.
Right. Which, I mean, how many of the Rebirth number ones did we actually, like, get overly excited for? You know what I mean? Because there were some that fell
flat. There were a bunch.
I know,
yeah,
but
there were a bunch that were really good, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would say it was probably half and half. You know what I mean? Right? That pretty much fell on its face, and then some that we were excited for, and then the series turned to shit.
You know, I would probably say 25% of them were great, 25% of them were awful, and 50% of them were just kind of there.
Right. And I would say this was probably just a there one.
Yeah, I would say that. I think this is, it's one of the better ones that was just kind of there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
For it does what it's supposed to do, and that's bring in the casual new readers, and to see if, or even newer readers that's not reading Detective.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean, I get it, but you know, for me, that's what I was saying is, like, I was ready for it to hit the ground running. You know,
yeah, but I'm expecting the first issue to do that.
Right, and then now it's just like, oh, all right.
You know, but the end of it looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, like the end of the thing where she's basically leading her father's group when she's got the giant gun.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see where this goes and how it ties into Detective now, because I don't know. You know, because it says that this is like the aftermath of the Night of the Monster Men.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, you know, Detective has kind of been, since that storyline, it's sort of been
all over the place.
Yeah, like it hasn't really been a focused story. You know, right, we had the Batman stuff. Then there was the, what was it, issue 950? That was, you know, like the Orphan story.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, like a couple of the other smaller things at the end. So we haven't really seen, you know, very much of what's going on. I mean, I guess spoilers sort of turned on them or whatever.
I would say so.
But that's basically it. So I next week I'm hoping maybe Detective will give us something a little more you know, back to the main story.
Right.
But, you know, whatevs.
Yeah.
you mentioned the last issue of Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Everything that I said about that issue and how much I loved the last issue of Justice League, I may as well just have Malcolm Merlyn shoot his fake green arrows through my heart, because this issue was, I'm back to not caring. You give me one issue out of 14 that's amazing, or I guess out of 15. And it's like you're just right back to there is nothing that I care at all about this comic.
You liked the one with the little girl.
I liked it better. So I guess, okay, I'll give you that. 2 out of 15 issues I have really enjoyed.
Well, you know, that's a good ratio. 1 out of 6.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If this book was a baseball player, he would be benched.
I didn't get a chance to read this one, so.
Oh yeah, don't. Honestly, I'm not even saying this as a joke. This issue was not good. Basically, there's some girl who is an alien-ish thing from. I don't know if she was from the future or whatever, but there are these things that are, you know, attacking her. And, what were they called? I don't even remember. The Timeless or something?
Okay.
Something stupid. Yeah, the Timeless. And she's, like, trying to get the Justice League to... there are these buildings that the Justice... that they have to destroy them or else the past, present, and future are all... you know, going to reset and there will be no superheroes because they don't like superheroes.
Okay.
So it's a really interesting story that was done fantastically well, and I almost cared. I actually almost didn't even finish the issue, but I was like, you know what, I'll at least power through.
Well, yeah, but it seems like that's everything that you wanted from it, though, right? Like a big crisis event that the Justice League has to assemble for?
Right, but Batman and Superman are somewhere else. And it's this girl with Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, and the two terrible lanterns.
Mm.
And it's just not good.
I gotcha.
Oh, I guess Flash is with her too, but it's like, yeah, no, it's, I'm sorry, this is not good.
It's fine, I get it.
Yeah, I don't even, there's nothing else I can really say.
No, it's fine.
I'm not looking forward to the next issue, and I may not even read it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they'll shake things up.
Maybe. Let's get to something good for a change.
Yeah. What do you think? You're the one that's hating on everything.
I know. What is going on this? I wish there was something I liked, but man, oh man. But okay, there are a couple things I liked.
Right.
I enjoyed Superman. I didn't think I would so much because it was not really a Superman story. It was what's her name? Kathy and Jonathan.
What'd you say? You cut out for a second.
Oh, sorry. I said I wasn't expecting to like this as much as I did because it was not so much a Superman story.
Okay, right.
As it was, you know, Kathy and Jonathan.
Okay.
But I liked it.
But see, yeah, because this is an example. I don't know. It's weird because Super Sons is written by, isn't it written by the same person? Is Tomasi writing this too? Or is Tomasi writing action?
No, he did Super Sense.
No, yeah, I know. Okay, so that's what I'm saying is, like,
yeah,
this is the difference between Super Sense, what the kind of issue that I had issue with, because there, Jonathan's interactions here, even though it's not with Damien,
right,
was better than in Super Sons.
Right.
And yeah, it's great because because it's like the whole little kid thing still. He's still a little kid, even though he has the superpower. Obviously, yeah. He doesn't want to go into the deep, dark, damn swamp.
Yep.
At night.
Even though his parents just keep leaving him home by himself for days at a time.
Well, you kind of expect that with, you know, your mom being Superman, or your mom being Lois Lane and your dad being Superman, right?
I guess, but yeah, I mean, he still is a kid. He doesn't really have, they know he doesn't have full control over his powers.
Right.
You know, but yeah. No, I agree with you. I like the fact that, you know, they go into the woods and they're seeing, you know, I mean, maybe there is some kind of fog thing that made them hallucinate, or maybe it's the typical, you know, 10, 12-year-old thing where they get a little freaked out and they start running and, you know, there's an owl overhead, but the owl's, you know, 30 feet tall.
Right, yeah. Over wild imagination.
Right.
Times 20 because you're scared shitless.
Yeah, I mean, like the giant alien-looking thing in the trees.
Right.
That's, you know, like 5 stories tall.
Right. Where's Swamp Thing at? Didn't this happen in the swamp?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't have to be in every swamp all the time, does it?
I know. But I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, I agree. Like, this issue is great, even though it only had Clark and Lois in it for like 2 panels or 3 or 4 panels,
right,
or whatever.
If yeah, that, but
because they just came in at the end, right, to check
yeah,
on him.
Yeah, to weigh in.
They were like, "Oh, he's already asleep."
Yep. Yeah. I am curious though about Kathy's grandpa.
Yeah.
Because it seems like something weird is going on.
Yeah. Because we go from that to all of a sudden he's walking him out of the swamp.
Right.
And the explanation, you know, is because of the mist or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it acts strangely, though.
Right, and then, I mean, that is, that last little bit, that is him kind of standing in the cornfield, right?
Is it? I thought it was the alien again.
But I thought that the alien was kind of the grandfather. I thought it was just them freaking out over it, or is it an alien?
Oh, yeah, there you go, yeah.
Cause
see that now.
If you look, I mean, if I'm looking at the panel now, and it looks like a guy with the same kind of hair, and it looks like he's wearing glasses because the, you know, his eyes are glasses.
Yeah,
it looks like the moon is reflecting off him, even though the moon's behind him.
Or maybe it's an alien shapeshifter.
Oh, maybe.
That just took his grandpa's place.
Or hey, man, anything's possible. But
I'm just saying, you know.
Cause yeah, I don't think that
because this contradicts everything else that we've seen her grandpa in. You know what,
right,
I mean? Like, not characteristic part of it. And with Tomasi being pretty even keel with everybody else's voices, it's not just like, I'm going to take a day off and not write her grandpa the right way. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This book is still, I mean, consistently...
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, I don't think this book has ever, the week it's come out, dropped below like a top 3 book. You know?
Yeah. I was trying to think.
I mean, even there were those couple issues with Superman and Jonathan where they were on that army, like with the dead military guys.
Yeah.
Kind of slowed it down, but it was still, you know, the father-son interaction there made it interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. Yeah, this is a good book.
I like it.
Everyone should read Superman. Definitely, everyone should read Superman.
Yep. Superman's the best that it's been forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my buddy Jeff, who is a huge Superman fan, I mean, he's read all the garbage, but he even says, he's like, this is, you know, he's been reading it since we were little kids, and he's like, this is the best I've ever consistently read. You know, that there have been good bits and pieces, but this is absolutely the best.
I would agree, because I too read it when we were little, and I read past the garbage stuff.
So, what'd you think of Batman?
Batman came out this week.
Yeah, did you not read it?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I liked it. There's a couple of things that I'm like, wait, did I just like not read the last issue type of thing? Because I forgot about Damian and Jason and Nightwing being hung last issue. So like when we saw the Fortress of Solitude, which, okay, the Fortress of Solitude has a goddamn key.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, a legit house key.
Well, I mean, if you look, it's super heavy, so only Superman can lift the thing.
Okay.
I mean, it's cracking the ground, man. No, haven't we seen that in the past, though? I mean, I don't know about a house key, but there's been something that he's done, right?
Well, yeah, but like, moved like an ice crystal here, there, whatever, and the door opens, or...
Look, just blame Finch's art for this.
No, I don't know. I was going to say something about it. I kind of liked... I did like this, but Batman really wasn't... I mean, he was in it, but he's not in it. Does that make sense? He's not the forefront of the characters?
Because they're setting the story up for, you know, the next thing, right?
Well yeah. But... I don't know. The whole... The Bronze Tiger getting shot. Right? Okay. He got shot, right?
Yeah, that's how the book opened, right?
Yeah. But I mean, he opens the door and then all you see is a pawoosh or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just assume it was a shotgun blast.
Well, I mean, there's the panel with him kind of sitting on the floor with his stomach busted open.
Yeah, pouring out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, I didn't know if it was a shotgun blast or if it was...
I mean, it could be a claw or something.
Yeah, right. I mean, I understand it gets fucked up. Let's put it that way. But, yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess he's in denial through the whole Venom thing, right?
Yeah.
So his reflexes might not be what they were because he's in denial or withdrawal.
Yeah, but, I mean, he even kind of says that when, you know, because they, what is it, the knock on the door and they say it's room service or whatever?
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. It's freaking Bronze Tiger, so, like, three issues before that, he's hanging with the Batman.
Right, but if he's been pumped up with stuff and he's coming off of whatever, you know, he even says, hey, you know, sorry it took so long to get the door, I'm fighting something. You know?
So he was pumped up on Venom still in Arkham?
I don't know if he was, but I mean, maybe he wasn't crashing like he had been.
All right. Okay. I don't know. It's just... that part seems like a totally different character than... it just seems uncharacteristic, I guess, but... If the Venom's the strange shit and you're coming down off of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I can give it a pass of being uncharacteristic of him, I guess.
Right.
But I did enjoy, like, the whole Duke thing where we're actually giving Duke some substance to work with.
Right.
But I don't know. What did you think of it?
I liked it. And now that I'm kind of flipping through it again, I think it was he wasn't shot. I think it was the talon of the bird that ripped his stomach.
Okay.
Because there is a caw as the door opens before the fawoosh.
Okay. So it's the same guy that's going around that shot Selena then too.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because there aren't they all together again at the end?
Yeah, tied up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I like this more than I liked the previous Bane stuff.
The naked Bane?
Yeah. Yeah,
now
I mean,
we got Rey Mysterio Bane back.
Yes. Like, I don't know what it is. I've never been a huge fan of Bane's. That I don't mind him, but I never really got why people went so crazy about, you know, how awesome he is. You know, okay. Yeah, I mean, I know he broke Batman and like big stuff obviously happened.
Right.
But he's never been a guy that I've been overly excited about reading his confrontations with Batman, I should say.
Okay. I can see that.
The previous arc with him, I think I liked it more than a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, it's not my... He is not my cup of tea. But
yeah,
this...
He's not your favorite top five Batman villain.
Yeah, he would definitely not be in my five. I don't even know if he'd be in my 10.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, this one, the last issue was good. I think this one is better because it progressed things far enough that I want to see how things go in the next issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I have no complaint about, oh, well, you know, they slowed things down or they this or, you know, this issue is all set up or whatever. There was enough stuff that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That kept me very interested turning the pages.
No, yeah. I really like this issue, honestly. And I was just fake bitching before.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm serious. Right. I mean, how can I defend Green Lanterns and then not defend yeah. Cross Tiger here?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you like Green Lantern. You hated Batman. Direct exactly. Your tweets to RonBar316.
No, this issue was pretty good. Like I said, I liked the setup before, where, like you said, a lot of people didn't like that setup.
Yeah.
And so, this is putting the chess pieces back on the table while taking off some of the chess pieces as well.
Right.
And, you know, Duke's gonna get fucked up. Because he's not listening. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, I'm glad he's not, but if he's not a Robin, then he's not listening just like the other Robin.
Right. Well, that's the thing that I find funny is, you know, how Batman's like, I'm going to train you different. You're going to be different than what's before, but he's right. Literally the exact same as all of the others no matter what.
Yeah.
Did Batman tell you to come help? He's like, I definitely like the assist. And he's like, no, he didn't tell me anything. He told me to stay told me to stay where I was, but I figured, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, I don't I'm just glad that he's getting more substance to his character though.
Right.
Than just being on the sidelines or being another knockoff Jason Todd or another knockoff Dick Grayson or whatever.
Did you read the We Are Robin series?
I read half of it and then
okay.
And then for some reason I don't even know why. I think that's when I got a job again.
Oh.
And then I just never picked up where I left off. But I definitely need to finish it.
I mean, it was not a great series, I don't think, but I like Duke in that series.
Yeah.
That it did a lot of... What?
Organically?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it did lots of interesting things with him, you know, so you know, what he's going through, you know, because his parents were, you know, messed up on the Joker toxin.
Right, yeah.
And
exactly.
Basically such a heavy dose that they're never going to recover. You know, and Batman, I guess, felt bad. So he's like, oh, well, I'll take you under my wing. You did all this without me.
Yeah.
So I'll see if I can help your parents kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
And that's what I was saying is, like, his story, like, progressed organically instead of...
Right.
Like, feeling forced or whatever.
Yeah. You know, that... I like the character. I'm not sure. I mean, unfortunately, I'd probably at this point put him way down towards the bottom of the Batman sidekicks.
Okay.
I like him more than Batwing, but I think that's about it. You know, at least for now.
Yeah.
Every time it seems like he's going to get showcased more, they kind of pull him back a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Like in this issue, for example, you know, he comes in, you're like, oh, awesome. You know, he's going to do some cool stuff. But then at the end, you know, he's still just tied up with everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
So I eagerly await seeing where his character goes from here. Agreed. Because, you know, because it is interesting. And... Yeah, I mean, Batman is trying something different or whatever.
Right. And he still doesn't have a goddamn code name.
Sure he does.
Duke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Called Stupid Helmet.
Biker Bat Guy?
Yeah, like, I'm not a fan of his costume. I think that's my one complaint.
Yeah.
If I had a complaint about Duke, is I don't like the biker helmet.
But, just the biker helmet, or just everything in general, and the biker helmet's the cherry on top of the cake.
I could deal with the other stuff if the helmet wasn't a biker helmet. Yeah. Okay. No.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the movie The Wraith?
Yeah.
At least he had a cooler helmet.
Right. I think for me it's the yellow. I don't like the yellow.
You know, that's something I don't mind the yellow, but if Batman and all the Robins, you know, they spend a lot of time kind of hiding in the shadows.
Yes.
You'd think that having a bright yellow outfit would not be conducive to, you know, sneaking up on people
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. If it was like a mustard yellow or even like a sunburnt orangish yellow... I'd be okay with it, but, you know, it's like a bright construction fluorescent-ass yellow.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
You know a lot of different shades of yellow, sir.
I know. That's because I've been painting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up maize.
I don't even want to talk about it.
I guess the only other book I wanted to talk about was Aquaman.
That's the only other one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only other Rebirth book.
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted to talk about another book, too. But...
Okay.
So, Aquaman.
Yes.
You know, I've been throwing my big Aquaman poster and, you know, throwing it down everybody's face of how awesome it is.
Oh, don't tell me you hate Aquaman now.
No, I just think this was one of the weakest of the series so far.
Oh my goodness, Ronnie. This was the best issue of this book.
You're a liar.
I am a liar. I liked it less than the whole political intrigue storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that one just did wrap up and this one's just starting, so I can't really fault it in that way, I guess.
Right.
I really enjoyed him at the UN.
Yeah.
Doing the speech, you know, and basically, I mean, it seemed like it did not go great at the start, where he's talking and sees the guy and he's like fumbling and everybody's talking to themselves. But of course, all of his people are like, "Oh, you did great. That was a great speech. Everything was wonderful." I enjoyed his interactions with the Secret Service when he's like, "Yeah, you guys don't need to protect me." He's like, "No, you know, who thinks we're protecting you?" It was good, but it was not, you know, the last arc good.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much what I was saying. Is like, this issue is definitely better than some of the other title issues, you know.
Yeah.
Green Arrow, but like, for this series for me, I don't think it was one of the best ones. It was just floating in the range, really.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's gone on this long and had solid issue after solid issue, so, you know, there's got to be one that falters.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, since, I would say at least the last dozen issues of this book have been pretty terrific.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, having one that kind of steps back as it resets the table.
Right.
I guess isn't, you know, it's not a bad thing.
No. No, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, I don't know. I don't even know how to say it, really. I mean, it's still good, and it's still decent quality. But it just wasn't on par with the rest of the issues for me.
Right.
That came before it. And like with Batwoman, there's like something I just can't put my finger on of why, really.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, and I think you're a fool for not liking it.
Oh, so the tables are reversed. Okay, I didn't like it.
I know, I'm just messing with you. Because that's what you used to tell me for every issue of Aquaman at the beginning.
Well, I was right then, but, you know.
This is a good issue, and you're dumb.
You're dumb, stupid poo-poo face. Like we're 8 and 9 again.
Yeah.
The only other book that I wanted to talk about was The Wild Storm.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were going to cover this one or not.
Did you read it? Of course
I did. Of course I read it. Yeah. Come on. This was the first book that I read.
Yeah. I remember our late night chat, or group chat or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This was like, I know I read Stormwatch like way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember a damn thing about it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because it was in the 90s. So to me, it was like, I remember lots of stuff that happened then, but, or lots of books then, but I couldn't like tell you exactly one thing. So I was kind of putting this one off because I know how I am. And like, if I read something, then I go obsessively full bore in it. And yeah, so I'm on issue 15 of the 93 series of Stormwatch right now.
Fantastic. I knew you were asking, you know, should you read, should you not read? And to be honest, I wish that I had more time before this one came out to do more of a reread.
Uh-huh.
I kind of skimmed a little bit of some of the stuff I liked,
right?
A lot, but I wanted to go back full bore into the whole run of stuff,
right?
But I mean, I'm so behind in everything else. There was no way I could add another 200 issues on top of everything.
Yeah. And I'm not, like, diving into it like I did with Rachel Rising, where I read 42 issues in a day and a half.
Well, because Rachel Rising is garbage, and you could read 42 issues in a day and a half, and Stormwatch, you have to sit, and you have to actually read and understand the depth of everything that's going on.
And that's where you're wrong. I mean, you might be right on the Stormwatch part, but Rachel Rising isn't garbage. That's probably, like, one of my top five favorite books of all time, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, back to...
First, you hate Aquaman. Then you tell me that Rachel Rising is the best thing ever. No, so what did you think of the first issue of Wildstorm, or The Wildstorm?
See, with Zealot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I caught the little Easter egg with the blood on her face to where it was the throwback to the 90s one, right?
Okay.
And so there's, like, little things that I caught that I remembered. But then, like, I didn't know that was Deathblow.
Okay.
Until maybe, like, all the way towards the end, maybe. And then, like, I enjoyed it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Obviously, yeah. Since I'm going back and reading the older stuff. But, like, I love the art. I thought the art was dark and gritty. And I think that's kind of what they want to go for. Or what they're trying to go for.
At the same time, though, what I liked was that sometimes when they go for that style of art, it's not clean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that they try and over... shadow or something, everything. But I thought that this one, I mean, it's a very bright book.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you that I think the style was fantastic, and I really enjoyed, I guess, the colorist and the inking, like everything, that nothing got muddied up.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, agreed. I don't know. It's fun. Like, not knowing, but also kind of knowing, like, being on that edge or that fringe zone, you know? Not friend zone, but fringe zone of, like, like, I noticed the blood on her face was, like, her the old stuff where she had paint on her face or whatever, you know? I knew that was, like, a throwback. But, like, there's other things, like, I didn't know. Like, honestly, when... before it got explained a lot, I thought that the gay couple at the table was going to be Midnighter and Apollo, because I've never read a Midnighter book, so I didn't know who they were. I just knew that they were in this universe,
right?
And then the old guy that gets thrown out of the window, Marlowe.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he a midget in the old timey wimey one? Or am I thinking of something completely different?
Now I'm drawing a blank.
Because there was a dwarf that had white hair or whatever in that universe. In the 90s.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know if they updated him or whatnot.
You know what?
Now I'm going to have to tweet Daryl and Martin and find out.
Yeah. You know what? I'm completely drawing a blank.
Okay. Because it might not have been. You know what I'm saying? I just might have mixed those two things. Because every time they said imp or whatever, that's what I went back to.
Right.
Was that guy for some reason. But yes, I'm definitely enjoying this, and it is definitely a great first issue.
Yeah, trying to think, who did the art on this one? John Davis Hunt, right?
Yep.
was that's the he did was he on Clean Room? Is that the last thing that he did?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I mean stylistically I think that the issue looked very much like that.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I like it a lot, and I yeah, I mean there was really nothing that I didn't dislike anything about this. I thought that it made, you know, for people who have not read, you know, dozens of previous stuff, mm-hmm. you know, in this universe, that I think it did a great job sort of setting the table for everything. You know, you get a glimpse of a couple of the people who are going to do, you know, big things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm definitely... I mean, I was going to be all in anyway.
Right.
But I'm definitely all in.
Yeah. And I can't wait for other well-known characters to come in as well, you know.
Right.
Like Spartan and Grifter and... There, I texted you the picture of the... Or Facebook messaged you. The guy holding the cigar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what's his name? The Lord Amp?
Yeah. So is that who Marlowe's supposed to be? Or no?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, that would be my guess.
Okay.
Because wasn't his name Jacob Marlowe?
I think so. Yeah, I'm with you on this. Like, on the fringe wise, I'm all in. And I liked everything about this one. I liked the art about it. I liked the writing, because it was new reader friendly, I guess. But, you know, it wasn't as new reader friendly, I didn't think. Like, where it still had
right.
those little Easter egg nuggets in there.
Well, that's the thing. It made it so that people who have read it in the past are able to get back into it and dive into what they enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, people who haven't read it, it gives them, you know, it doesn't leave them feeling lost.
Right, yeah.
Which, I mean, something with this big a history, and I mean, sometimes Warren Ellis can get lost in himself or his stories.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I like this a lot, and I'm glad that he basically said, I will do this, just leave me alone. I'm just going to do my thing, just let me do my thing, and it'll be good.
Right.
And I mean, so far this issue is very good.
What did you think? I mean, like, if you would rate it, what do you think, already reading the other stuff?
What do you mean?
Like, on the Netflix scale, kind of like what Daryl and Martin did.
What is the Netflix scale? That's up to 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I would... I don't think I would give it a 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Just because for me, I don't like giving perfect scores on stuff, because I think there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, that's cool.
Unless it's like Deathstroke.
Yeah.
But I mean, this would be like a 4.5.
Okay.
4.75. I mean, it's as close to the top as I could get it. I would say.
That's why I was asking, because like they both gave it a solid 3, because it was just to them it felt like, now I'm putting words in their mouth, but you can listen to the Nerdy Legion episode, but like where it was just a number one issue, so it didn't really.
But
there's,
you know,
a lot of stuff. So for you being a long time reader of that, also I was just trying, because for me, who just dove into it because of this book, mm-hmm. like I would give it like a 4 or 4.52 also.
Right.
you know. So that's why I was trying to, if you thought, you know, it was just a great introductory issue, or it was exceptional.
That's the thing.
Or
I mean, I think the art in this one is some of the best Wildstorm art I've seen.
Okay.
It, you know, a lot of the older stuff, it's very, 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 very 90s. And this, I really enjoy this style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought Clean Room, while I didn't love the comic, it wasn't bad, but it sort of lost me partway through.
Right.
I thought it always looked fantastic.
Yeah,
I can see that. I mean, you're going in just based on the look of the book itself, it's fantastic. And it, like I said with the story, it's enough that old and new people will find something to latch onto. You know, and while, you know, it is a first issue and it is setting a lot of stuff up, I think it did so better. I mean, comparing it to other first issues we've seen.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it does it much, much better than a vast majority of them.
Okay.
And I mean, like, and Grifter hasn't even shown up yet.
Yeah. Is that your favorite character in the universe?
In the universe? I don't know. They sort of ruined him.
With the new 52 one?
Yeah, the new 52 Grifter was not good. Yeah. And the whole Futures End story, which sort of followed him, was not great. I mean, out of everybody, I'd probably go with, Midnighter's probably up there.
Okay. Well, I was just curious, because, you know.
Midnighter's pretty awesome. I mean, I like Grifter. There's a lot of people I like. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Voodoo's kind of cool, too. And, yeah, I mean, Yeah, probably Midnight would be my favorite. God damn it. Now I don't know. Midnight would probably be my favorite. Probably. Right after him would probably be Grifter and maybe Deathblow. I don't know. But I like a lot of them. I don't think that there's any... it's not like there's a Jessica Cruz in the bunch.
Right.
For me.
I can take that analogy. That's cool.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there's somebody that... that's going to show up, that's going to outshine everybody else, or is it going to be even keel type thing?
You know, I'm not I don't even know who's supposed to be in this. I just know I've seen Grifter on covers.
Yeah.
That I mean, I believe I saw in some interview somewhere that Midnighter and Apollo will make an appearance.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm all in on it, and I liked where this went, and I like the tone of it, and I like the feel of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's right, like, in my wheelhouse type of thing.
Right.
Because you add the corporate espionage type stuff, plus, like, the darkish, gritty feel to it.
Yep.
And then throw some conspiracy stuff in there, and then, you know, I'm all in.
Now, is this a, this is a monthly, right? It's not a...
I think so. I think it's only four issues, though, right? And out of these four issues, or six issues, will spawn other books, like a Deathblow book, and then, like, a Wildcats book, maybe? And then another book? I don't know. But I thought that's what I read, or heard, or whatever.
Interesting.
So, like, this is the actual, like, four-part event before
it spins out.
Off. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, to be honest, I don't really read a lot of that stuff. I just kind of look, and I'm like, oh, cool, this is coming. And I'll just, you know, be surprised by the story.
Or it could be that, like, for four issues, this happens. Like, this, like, world building for the first arc, and then, like, the next four issues will be Deathblow-centric, I guess, and then after that, I don't know, so it'd be, like, chapters instead of arcs, I guess, is what Warren Ellis is calling it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know that for sure, so take that with a grain of salt.
That's awesome. I like this series. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm all in. I'm just waiting for more stuff, and it will be spectacular, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for an issue where it's not as good as the rest of them, and I can hate it and get you, Martin, and Daryl pissed off at me.
Well, I mean, I don't blindly love stuff. Kidding. I didn't like a couple of the Batman things, too.
I know.
But, yeah, I guess that's really all I got this week.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. And all
right.
My audio's better, so people don't have to bitch about that.
Well, when I edit the show, every time you talk, I'm just going to put, like, car horns and seagulls and stuff in the background.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I guess thank you for listening to this episode of Rebirthically. I don't even know what number we're on. 30-something.
Yeah, sounds good.
Right? 30-something? Mm-hmm. Who knows? I guess I'll look quick just because.
Our age?
What, we're 38?
I think we're 38 or 39.
Or 37.
Hmm. Close All enough. Right. We're last
yeah, close
year.
Enough. Yeah, we are. Thank you for listening to this episode of the past. You can tweet me at Aaron S. Bell. You can tweet your hate of women's issues towards Ronnie at Rombar316. You can tweet the show directly at NL Rebirthically. You could email the show rebirthically@gmail.com. And I guess we will see you next week. Bruce Pritchard.